Arklatek's Talent and Testimony, where God gets the glory for each and every story. Join Kat every Saturday morning at 10:30 and Sunday at 8 a.m. and 12 noon on The Promise 90.7 FM.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on Arklatek's Talent and Testimony. This is where God gets all the glory for each and every story. I'm Kat Arnold, a.k.a. Just Me, in the studio 3A at The Promise 90.7. Today, our special guests are Lisa and Devin Paradin. Good morning to you, Lisa. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Kat. I'm doing just wonderful. As usual.
Absolutely. And I'm so excited to have both of you here today. Folks, let me tell you, Lisa is a widow and the mother of Devin. She was married to a thoroughbred racehorse jockey who was well known in our area and dearly loved by many. Their son, Devin, was diagnosed at the age of 3 with severe to moderate autism. Today, Devin will bless our hearts as he shares his talent with us. He plays the saxophone and he dreams of one day playing just like Kenny G. Devin was recently captivated during a concert, a Christian concert that we were at, and the sax player, Joe, that plays with the band Big Daddy Weave, they both gained one another's attention. And, oh my goodness, what a show it was for both us and for Big Daddy Weave's Joe, the sax player. Devin wants to one day play for God. Ladies and gentlemen, let's open the show right now this morning with Devin Paradin playing Amazing Grace. What a gift Devin has received, and we want to thank him for sharing that gift with us here today. Now, back to Mom. Lisa's an author. Above many things that God has given her, number one, I believe, is being the mother to Devin. But in the midst of that, she has written a book, Walking with God Through Autism. And Lisa shares her journey, and as I went through the book, I will tell you, you will find encouragement while you walk through whatever your mountain of adversity is. Lisa, if you will, share with us this morning your story and how God gets the glory for your loss, the pain, and the challenges that you face.
Sure, Kat. I would love to share that with everyone. First and foremost, the book was written for God, and it was to give him all the glory. This is what he wanted me to do, and I have formed a very meaningful bond and relationship with God through my walk. And even though our walk is the one through autism, walking with God through autism affects so much more than just autism. It will reach people in every area that they struggle with. And the reason it's written is to try to give encouragement and inspiration. I believe that God's word, which is in the Bible, if we declare it over our situation and over everything that we're going through, every mountain, every hurdle that we have to go through, and understand and know that our big daddy up there loves us more than anything, and that he's right there with us walking through it.
Absolutely. You know, he says he will never leave or forsake us, but when these times come, going back to maybe the young days when you had met your husband and here he is a thoroughbred racehorse jockey, and I'm sure there are many woes with that in itself because, I mean, there's challenges that they face that could cause injury. I mean, you never know. But take us back to that time, if you will. Take us back to the time when, where were you in your Christian walk during those days?
In my Christian walk during those days, when we started out, we believed in God. We believed in Jesus Christ being the Son of God. But we had no idea what a real personal relationship was like with him. When we found out Devin was diagnosed with autism, it definitely put a strain on our marriage. We were best friends. We went everywhere together. We did everything together. We were, you know, simpaticos. And this was something that I really didn't expect. I was expecting my partner to kind of support me in this. And although there's many people out there that do have the same issues, they know what kind of strain it does put on. But you have to stick together, and you have to believe, and you have to believe in something higher than anything that's on earth, anything you can see, and that's God. It took a very major accident for my husband in horse racing to be in ICU in New Orleans after Katrina. He was in intensive care for about 30 days, and Devin never got to see him, and he didn't get to see Devin. During this time, New Orleans was still being rebuilt because of Katrina. And on the third day of ICU, sitting in there with Devin, I was just a complete basket case. My husband had internal injuries that were from a lacerated liver, a lacerated spleen. He broke almost every rib in his body. He had internal bleeding, pelvis broken in three places, a punctured bladder. We were in really unstable waters. And Devin at the time was nonverbal and not going with anybody. It was mom had to be there all the time or he would just scream. And he was definitely nonverbal and so unable to express his feelings of how he felt. And on the third day in ICU, I just cried out to God about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just cried out with everything I had. I said, God, I don't know. I need to feel you because I have nobody. I have nobody helping me with this. I don't know what decisions I have to make, and I need you to do them for me. And I need to know that you're right there. And I cried probably from 3 o'clock in the morning till 6 in the morning. And all of a sudden, a peace came over me that I had never felt before. And it was as if Jesus was sitting right next to me. And I felt him the entire time. Everywhere I went, when we were transferred to another hospital, when I went home, when I was in a grocery store, he was right at my side. I literally felt him there saying, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. I'm with you and I got this. And doctors would come up to me and say, you know, we need you to sign these important papers. He's going to have surgery here. We don't know what's going to happen here, if he'll be able to walk again. And this little girl that was crying days ago is all of a sudden full of smiles and saying, don't worry about it. It's going to be great. Hi, you know, my name's Lisa. How you doing? Where do you want me to sign? It was crazy. People looked at me like I was, okay, she must be in shock.
The peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yes.
That only comes from God. When we can't, he can.
That's exactly right. Mm. That's exactly right. And I really believe that was a turning point because when they had to ambulance my husband back home, he was non-weight-bearing for 9 months. And so our marriage had to heal. And he was stuck with me. he had nobody else to take care of him but me. So he kind of had to have me. And Devin just loved up on him. And he started to have the Holy Spirit really show him things through Devin that only God could do, that I couldn't show him. And our marriage not only healed, it became better. It became stronger. We became a family bond, not just a partnership. Yes. In a crisis.
Yes.
It wasn't a crisis anymore. It was now all how we had to look at things, you know. And where we were, we had to look at things outside the box. And it was okay because we knew God had it. And it's so important because as we started this walk, I knew that I had to give everything I could to God with the son that he blessed me with. We started going to racetrack church because I thought that maybe if he threw a fit or something at a regular church, they would look at me funny and I'd have to walk out. And I just felt uncomfortable. And a lot of people going through autism in the beginning, they feel uncomfortable because you don't feel accepted. And our racetrack church, Winter Circle Church, they're open-armed. I mean, this is my family outside of my family. Everywhere around the country, you know, racetrack people, we're like circus people. We get up and go. We don't say goodbye. We say, see you later. The chaplain had told me, he said, no, I really think you need to start coming with him. If he gets too loud or something, just step in my office. Feel comfortable because this is where God wants you to go. Devin started changing. He started drawing all the time in church, but then as he started talking, it was God speaking through him when he would say things, and incredible things, things that were just really deep. In fact, that's how we wound up going to Big Daddy Weave's concert. The chaplain gave a sermon on Jacob, how he wrestled with the angel, and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And we're driving home, and the whole time this little boy is just coloring and being quiet and doing his own thing. His mind's soaking in everything that the chaplain said. And as we're driving home, he says, Mom, he said, I'm not Devin no more. I said, you're not Devin anymore. He said, no. God changed me. I'm redeemed. It's no Devin, now redeemed. I said, so God renamed you. You're not Devin. You're now, your new name is redeemed. He said, yeah, that's it. And I thought I'd wreck the car because I went home and I downloaded the music and I got the lyrics and I read it and it's, I'm not who I used to be. And it was so meaningful.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And you had shared with me another thing that Devin had recently said or said during the years that he was learning to verbalize. Just out of the blue one day, he said, I believe it was something to the...
It's all how you look at it.
Yeah, it's all how you look at it, just out of the blue. And
out
tell
of the
that
blue,
story, if you will.
Out of the blue, I'm washing dishes, and he's quiet in his own little world playing like typical autistic kids play, whether they're lining something up or their mind is in another zone. And it's okay. It's really okay. Because I think it's great, it's pure. And I'm washing dishes and he just walks up to me, puts his hand on my back and he says, Mom. And I said, yeah, honey, what? He says, it's all how you look at it. And I said, well, what do you mean? It's all how you look at it. Like, what's all how you look at it? And he just shook his head, just as peaceful and smiling from ear to ear. He said, everything.
That is profound, because here I am, you know, pushing up in the late 50s, and it wasn't honestly till this year that I really had to wrap my mind around perspective.
Yes.
The perspective of where we are at the moment and the choices that we have of how we actually view something is each of our perspective. Now, of course, when we look at truth, I know that truth only comes from God's word. And, you know, just because we think something, there's a saying that you do what you do because you believe what you believe, but just because you believe it doesn't make it the truth. But perspective, And if we could take that perspective that Devin has at such a young and autistic mind, that it is what it is, but it's the way we look at it. It's the way we view it. And I don't know, that was just so profound to me when he said that.
It was profound to me. I like to fell on the floor, naturally. But, you know, I mean, you don't expect, maybe 7, 8 years old he was. I think it was before his father passed away that he said that, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And all of a sudden, I felt like the child, and that he was the adult.
Yes.
And I realized that was God using him to speak to me. And through our walk through autism with God, God uses him in so many profound ways to say, hey, you know, hey, girl, I got this. You know, you're not hearing me, so I'm going to speak through him so that you can hear me a little bit clearer.
Well, he does use so many times the things that are the dearest to our hearts to get our attention. Speaking of which, then came the loss of your husband. And if you will, share a little bit maybe about...
That was pretty devastating. I want to say more afterwards than it was during the 4 months that he was alive. He called me and said, I just announced to the press that I retired and I want to come home. And he was in Fairgrounds in New Orleans. And I said, well, you announced to the press, that's not like you, because, you know, we were simpatico. We always talked about things, even if it was like, okay, who's taking the trash out today? To that, you know, that's the simplest thing. And this was something very big. And I said, you know, I thought maybe you would have talked to me about that first. And he said, I just want to come home. I'm really tired. And I took off my mounts for today, and I'm done. And I just want to be home. And we came through the door late that night. He didn't even look the same. He looked like a totally different man. In fact, our therapy dog started barking at him like a stranger entering the house until he took off his cap and spoke. And then she looked like she felt bad because, oh my gosh, this is Dad. What's wrong with me? The next day, I made an appointment with the doctor to check him out, and they found a mass on his lung, which they were pretty sure was cancer. And then after that, he was to get an MRI to see if it had gone further, and his entire brain was filled. It had metastasized throughout the brain. And we chose to do radiation to kind of be a little to extend his life and have a little bit better quality, because I didn't know what to do. And I think everybody that experiences loss like this, when you know about it, you go through a period of automatic. You just go in the survivor mode, I guess you could say, and you know, okay, I have to do this, I have to do that. Okay, it's almost time to pick up Devin from school. I need to have somebody watch my husband while I go and do that. I need to pick up groceries. I need to wash clothes. He needs a shot. You go in this automatic mode.
And not to interrupt, but just to say there, you know, folks, as I said, and as you said, and we listen to this story, there are so many things that happen unexpected in each and every one of our lives.
Yes.
And if we are not centered, if we're not focus to where we know that the impossible is possible, because with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
And as Lisa said, I mean, it became just, it's what you do in the time of a crisis. And many of you have walked through those crises, and many of you have those in front of you. So just grab these words and hold on to your daddy, to your Father God, just as she is doing as she tells this story.
And you know, another important thing is to stay in the Word of God. Magic? No, it's not magic.
Mm-mm.
It's not. But it's God's Word.
Mm.
And when Jesus is involved in something, he will take your natural and put his super on it to bring the impossible into reality.
Yes.
And everything in this book that describes the challenges we went through, not just with autism, but with other things in our life. God showed me how he did a 360-degree turn. The things that would be most frightening in my son's life, he made the opportunity for him to actually love. A child that's afraid to flush the toilet because the noise is too loud for his ears is now doing my lawn work with weed eaters and blowers and enthusiastic about it. I mean, it's incredible. There's nothing anybody can describe. Occupational therapists, doctors, pediatricians, if they want, they can say till they're blue in the face, okay, he's outgrowing it. He's starting to outgrow his autism. Hey, you don't outgrow autism. You don't. There's no cure for it. But, you know, and I don't have the answers for everybody's situation, but I know who does. Mm. And that's what this book's about. It's to try to put you closer in touch with God and with Jesus. And this is the journey that we used in order to find that relationship with him and in order to trust him, because you have to trust him. You have to have faith. Without it, things become hopeless. You don't look at your mountain and say, oh my gosh, look how big my mountain is, God. You tell your mountain, hey, look how big my God is. It's all how you look at it. It's how you turn things around the other way of how you look at it. The glass isn't half empty. It's half full.
That's right.
The mountain's big, but my God's bigger.
Bigger.
You know? Yeah, my son's afraid of dogs, but guess what? We bought a dog, and my son loves dogs now. I mean, it's incredible.
You know, as we talk and visit here on this, we realize that, once again, our plans and our thoughts, those are not the same as God's. God is God, and we are not. God is God. And he creates us in our mother's womb, and then, after he creates us, places us in our mother's womb. And he brings us to this earth to live it out according to his plans and his purposes. And never would anyone, I don't believe, in the natural, say, you know, I think that I would like for my wonderful life to be maybe the loss, the marriage, and then the loss of my husband, my spouse, my best friend. And then on top of that, you know, I'd like to have a child with special needs, so that, you know, I am, my time and my attention is taken. And on top of that, an illness, let's talk for a minute, because that's not, there's more than what happened with you. What
yes,
happened?
Exactly. About exactly 2 years after losing my husband, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I kind of didn't want to believe it, because since he had passed away, I was really taking good care of myself and working out and making sure my health was number one, because I had to be mom and dad of this little boy. And there's a lot of times you sit back and think, and the enemy wants to get in your mind, which you can't let happen. You can't let it happen. He'll put so many lies in your head and say, what happens to this kid if anything happens to you? Who does he have? Who's he going to turn to? You know, you're his world now. Your mom and dad, what are you going to do? And I couldn't go there. I couldn't. I had to physically every day wake up and put on the body armor of God, which is in the Bible. Mm. I had to put on the belt of truth. I had to carry the sword of the Spirit. I had, which was God's word, I had to speak these things over my life and say, oh no, I'm not laying down. You knocked me down, but I'm getting back up again. I'm getting back up because my race isn't over with.
That's right. And you know, Satan, he throws those things into our head and our mind, and that helmet, the helmet that we put on to protect
yes.
our mind, to keep the enemy from even coming in. If we give him just one little bitty thumbnail, he'll come in with his whole hand and then with everything that he has against us. But there again, it's not our battle, is it?
No.
That's between him and God.
That's right.
And so when we put that armor on and we stand on the sideline and we let God fight our battles. We can only do what God allows us to do, and He uses us again for His glory. He wrote the story from the very beginning before we even knew what life would be. And I'm just amazed. I know that, folks, that I don't want to take everything away from this wonderful, easy reader. It is a beautiful book, Walking with God Through Autism. Lisa Pappas Paradin, this is a beautiful book. And once again, it is about walking through the autism with God, walking with God through autism. That is the title. But folks, it's about walking through any challenge, anything that we're going through, and walking with God and allowing Him to lead us, allowing Him to get behind us and push us, or just walk by our side. And many times, as with Lisa, He carries us. The book has the footprints and the sand on it.
Yes.
And those are the days that He literally just carries us. And if you're interested in ordering one of these books, you can go Amazon, or it's www.walkingwithgodthroughautism.com. There's been, just this morning, she was sharing with me, showing me one of the t-shirts that she's going to be giving away with an order, if you would like to go on and order one of those books. But once again, this is not the segment, Arklatek's Talent and Testimony. It is not about Lisa. And it's not even about this book, Walking with God Through Autism. This show is all about how God creates each one of us and puts this flesh, bone, and blood on these bodies that we call ourselves and uses us for His glory. So we want God to get all of the glory for this story of life, because He, once again, is the author and the finisher. What a joy it is to be able to meet you, Lisa.
Thank you, Kat.
To listen to that young man, to see him. He's handsome, folks. He's a good-looking boy. And for him to come in and get that sax and sit up straight and tall and play the saxophone, to be able to use his fingers and his mind and the air that is in his body to press out through a saxophone such beautiful music as Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. His grace is sufficient.
Yes, it is.
He reminds me
of that every day.
Yes.
He said it. We have to start our lessons today with Amazing Grace, Mom. It's about Him. It's about Jesus. And I said, I know, honey, it's always about Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, before we leave out, is there anything else that you would like to share or say before we head out?
No. Well, I would like to tell everyone out there that it's not about us, the life that we have. We never asked to be born. We never asked to come into this world. And we don't get to decide when we leave it. We don't decide anything about our children, whether they're going to be with us 5 years, 3 months, 25 years or longer. It's not a time span that's in our control. It's in God's control. You know, we only get to borrow them for as long as God wants to allow that to happen. And our lives are not our own. So if we can just use them, our lives, to be something for Him, to bring His honor and His glory out there, and to help one another and to stick together as a community, that we really are all brothers and sisters, the world would be a better place. And it always starts with one. So why not let it start with you today?
I thank you again so very much. And folks, thank you again for tuning in to Arklatek's Talent and Testimony, where God gets the glory for each and every story. Have a beautiful day.
Arklatek's Talent and Testimony, where God gets the glory for each and every story. Join Kat every Saturday morning at 10:30 and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 12 noon on The Promise, 90.7 FM.